Next man up, 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning, and we are now thrilled to be joined for the final hour of the show by Max Herz from Preds Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Max, thanks for coming in. How's it going?
Hi, Jake. Hi, Parker. It's been too long, so
I know.
For having me.
We haven't had you on since the season ended, so we are glad to have you back. I hope you enjoyed Memphis last week. I listened to a couple of your calls while I was
driving around.
Well done. You got a three-homer game at one point, didn't you?
Hey, you never know what you're going to see in minor league baseball. We had a four-homer game against the Sounds, which was nuts. Joshua Baez, and Cardinals fans are all up on Joshua Baez.
Yeah.
Why is he not in the majors yet? He's this, like, crazy slugger who's, like, homer or swing and miss, basically, which is not uncommon.
Three outcome.
But he was supposed to go to Vandy out of high school and got drafted out of high school. So it was my first time ever seeing him play, his first time ever playing against a Nashville team. He hit four homers, and I think the fourth homer was in the air for 8 seconds. It was a rainbow.
Wow.
It was crazy. But, yeah, the Sounds had a three-homer game. It was... I'll tell you what, Jeff Hem does an unbelievable job.
Yes,
calling those games, especially six in a row against the same team, is hard.
Yes,
so
and
Jeff
solo.
Does an amazing job. I hope people realize that, and I hope people listen to the Sounds on 94.9 The Fan all summer.
Yes, Jeff Hem, one of the greats, and they're playing the Braves team this week, the Stripers, so get out to First Horizon Park, listen in with Jeff. Going to be a lot of fun. But it is draft day today in the NHL, so Max comes back from doing some baseball and gets right into the swing of things here with the offseason. Before we get into the draft, Chris McFarland takes over, and he's already made a couple of moves, both with his former employer, the Colorado Avalanche. Let's start with the Ross Colton trade that came down last week. Brings him over, trades 2 third-round picks, along with Magnus Crona, the goalie they received in the Yaroslav Askarov trade. Thoughts on Ross Colton as a guy who can come in here and play both center and wing in the bottom six for this Preds squad?
Well, first off, I will say Crona is an irrelevant part of the trade. He's a free agent. He's most likely not even staying in North America, so that was just a contract numbers thing to have his expiring contract go away. I like Colton. That's an upside deal. That's why you have third-round picks. To go get a player like that. That's why they've built up all the second, third, fourth round draft capital they have.
Yes, they have a ton. They have, what, 2 seconds this year, or maybe just 1 second this year, 2/3, and then 3 seconds next year, I want to say.
This year, 2 seconds.
2 seconds, yeah.
Down to 1/3 now. At one point, they had multiple, and they have 2/4, and currently 3/5.
Yes. They have a loaded cabinet of draft capital this year and next year, especially since the Vegas pick in the Nick Hague trade conveyed to a second because they reached the Western Conference Finals.
I actually have to get some clarity on that because I believe that pick is now owed to two different teams.
Oh.
Because of trading that Vegas did in conditions. So I think that pick has gone to the Flames as part of the Rasmus Anderson trade. And if Vegas had won the cup, it would have become a first. So then it wouldn't have been an issue.
Gotcha.
So I think there's a chance that gets bumped a year, but I don't know exactly how that works.
Well, yeah, and they can't do it this year because John Tortorella cost them their second round pick by not doing media.
Yeah, that would have been helpful if they just said, hey, the Preds are going to get that
pick. Yeah, you can just have that one this year.
Yeah, what a gracious violation of human decency to not do an interview. I love how mad people got about that.
People were very upset. I mean, Ed, you did break the rules, but man, a second round pick and what, $100,000 fine? Like, it was pretty steep penalties.
But also, like, he knew he wasn't going to be the coach after this end of the season. Like, he didn't owe anybody anything.
Right.
So maybe I'm the only media member in the world who didn't think
who didn't
that was
care.
An outrage. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny,
too. I think Torts is hilarious.
No, and he's not coming back. Honestly, I thought before that there was a good chance he might come back. I mean, you got the team to the cup final, but then, you know, the discussion about Aiden Hill in the Stanley Cup final where somebody asked if he was going to bench Carter Hart, and he said it's the stupidest question he's ever heard when Carter Hart was setting records of how bad he was in the Stanley Cup final. Like, I think the slippery slope got away from him, and he will not be back. But talking about the Preds making trades, Colton comes in, and I think my first thought was younger Eric Haller replacement when you bring him in. Can play center, can play on the wing. But then you also go out and you get Jack Drury earlier this week in a trade, who is probably going to be your third line center as well. What were your thoughts on that one that obviously sent two younger guys who had some hopes, Svechkov and LaRue, back to the Colorado squad?
Yeah, so with what they're bringing in, and I didn't say anything about Colton. I answered the irrelevant parts of your last question. I will actually talk about Ross Colton
there
now. I think Colton is a great high upside add, and you have three different ways that it can go. One, you keep him, it goes well this year. Two, you trade him at the deadline if the Preds aren't in contention. Or three, you lock him up long-term with all the cap space you have, because presumably he will like playing here. There really aren't players who don't like playing here, especially ones who will almost definitely be a scheme fit, have a pre-existing relationship with the GM, and also Steven Stamkos is one of the best players he's ever played with, and he'll be happy to be back with him. So I think it's a no-lose situation to trade the two draft picks for Colton.
Yep.
I really do. And I hope people heard his interview on DVD, which was that earlier this week or last week?
I think it was last Friday,
okay,
Thursday.
Last Friday. Because he talked about his specific motivation, and that lines up with a contract year for him as he heads into his age 30 season. And this is a guy with a lot to prove and a lot of bounce back capability. You could tell with an answer he gave in that phone interview with Adam and Willie and Derek, he was really unhappy about his playing time last year. He said he was not one of the coach's guys, which I thought was a pretty telling thing to say.
Yeah.
The type of thing you don't usually hear from an NHL player, and I loved it. But he wants to position himself here as the go-to guy, and knowing what he brings and knowing Andrew Brunette as well as we do over the last 3 years, that is a player who Brunette is going to lean on and has a chance to even be a second-line guy at times on the Preds. So I think Colton is a great pickup. I think there's no risk there. I think if nothing else, you can get the picks you traded for him back if you want to.
Right.
And even if you don't, I think that's still a win to stabilize things for this year. And Chris McFarland is getting guys he trusts. And that's why they got Jack Drury. And they gave up two still pretty young recent first-round picks for him who are NHL players. But you have to think of Jack Drury as Colton Sissons, who's 26 years old, who's 6 years younger than the real Colton Sissons. And you have to think of him as a guy who could be a Pred for the rest of his career, because he's at the position where he needs a new contract. He's an RFA right now.
Yep.
The Avs weren't going to be able to give him what he was going to get other places, so he probably would have gotten offer sheeted if the Avs had tried to sneak him through on a lower contract. And he's someone who the Preds want to build around as their third or fourth line center. He's going to take a lot of draws for them. He's going to be a reliable guy. He's going to do the things that Sissons did for so long, that McCarron did a lot of the time, especially with Sissons gone last year. And you're seeing, with the lack of centers right now around the league, that is a player you have to give up capital to get. And they're probably going to have to give him pretty good money, which is fine, because the Preds have 20-plus million in cap space right now, and the cap's going way up, and the Preds probably don't have a ton to spend their open cap on. So I think that's okay. But I think the thing people really want to know is, why trade Svechkov and LaRue for that? After the initial sting of you love those players as fans.
Fan favorites,
and,
for sure.
They're fan favorites. They're guys that I loved getting to know, and I was hopeful that I would get to watch and announce their whole careers here. And it rarely happens that way, first of all. It's sad that it happened so early for two guys who were taken in the same draft, first round, 2021. But I think watching those guys get into the NHL and try and establish themselves in the NHL, I think you can see the flaws in their game that McFarland, who has absolutely no attachment to them, would make the clear evaluation of, these guys are not part of the cup core here. The guys who are part of the cup core here, in his eyes, and he said this, are Brady Martin, Igor Sirin, and on downward, younger, that group.
Right. And that now Joachim Kimmel is the oldest first-round pick remaining on this roster, if I'm remembering correctly. And then you go and you see Molendijk and Surin and Matthew Wood. That's kind of the core that they're trying to build around. And with Leroux and Svechkov, I saw there was a lot of people upset about this on social media over the past few days. And I get it. Leroux was an agitator, one of those guys that you love to have on your team. Svechkov, his interviews are just always classic. But they were disappointing this year. I mean, Leroux was obviously injured to start the season, had to go down to Milwaukee. Svechkov, I think there was a lot of expectations on him heading into this year, and he just didn't live up to it. So I think you're right that McFarland, being that outside perspective coming in, is just like, hey, these guys haven't performed. I've got a guy in Colorado that I feel like can be an instant impact player right now, but also can be part of the long-term future of this team.
Yeah, and look, as someone who watched every shift these guys took, like, there are flaws in their game, yep. Like I said. Leroux needs to be a guy who scores around the net, and he never really did that more than once every few weeks in the NHL at most. He wasn't getting better at tipping pucks. He wasn't finding himself in those rebound situations, and that was frustrating as someone who wanted to see him succeed. So I get that completely. Svechkov, just because he's a center, I think some evaluators would have been a little more patient with.
Right.
I don't see a problem with that, personally. He just didn't do enough this year. He wasn't good on the wall. He wasn't winning battles. He wasn't driving possession. His game wasn't maturing. He was losing pucks. You would see moments, like there would be days, either in morning skates or in practice, when his shot was electric. How often did we see that in games, though? It wasn't translating over. He wasn't creating space for himself. He wasn't generating chances. He wasn't good enough on faceoffs, and that's something that comes with time. But I think him developing into a bottom six defensive center, you might as well just go get Drury and give him 4 years.
Right. That's what Chris McFarland said yesterday about Jack Drury, is he can be an elite defensive forward, which is something that you need on those bottom two lines, and he can help on the penalty kill as well. So you're getting a more proven commodity in Jack Drury than what you had with those two younger guys.
Yeah, and I don't think Leroux nor Svechkov are big special teams guys long term. They both killed penalties this year. I think they were both good on the PK. But I think the Preds proved this year they could put almost anybody on the PK and get production out of them.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any questions for Max, he is with us for the full final hour of the show, talking about the Preds offseason. Of course, draft night tonight in Buffalo. Preds currently slated to pick 10th in the first round. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly with you on your Friday morning. Next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman joined in studio by Max Hurst from Preds Radio all the way up until the end of the show at noon. Parker Kelly at the controls. Getting ready for draft night. The Preds picking 10th tonight in the first round. They'll have many more picks throughout the weekend in Buffalo. We'll talk about what the Preds could do at number 10. But in general, Max, it's been kind of a crazy start to the offseason so far. Brady Tkachuk gets traded. He's now playing with his brother down in Florida. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Buffalo-Chicago trade. Bowen Byram going to Chicago, and the Blackhawks send back not just the fourth overall pick, but another pick in the second round, along with another player. Felt like more than you expected Bowen Byram to get on the trade market.
Yeah, well, prices are high right now for players. Good picks are going for players who maybe on paper don't deserve it.
Right.
But the top 10 picks are flying around like candy this week. So it's I think it's great for the league because it's going to be not as crazy of a free agency period with the cap going way up. A lot of guys have been locked up. So I think players getting traded and having some say in where they go, I think it's exciting for the NHL, and I think it's cool that it's all happened at once too, with the draft kind of providing this trade deadline in the offseason.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's been really exciting for the league. I think it's great for the game. I think it's good when big name players change teams. I think it's great when you have these trades to judge, and it's like, man, Bowen Byram better be their number one defenseman next year and be great. Otherwise, like, GM's job is on the line. So I think it's the type of talk that you haven't really felt around the NHL in the U.S. that I think these trades can create, give you a little more of an NBA feel.
No, that is true. And we were talking about it earlier that kind of the thin free agent class that doesn't have a ton of big names at the top has led to teams needing to trade to add to their rosters and feel like they can build cup contenders. So you're seeing a lot of big names flying around. You mentioned top 10 picks. The ninth pick right in front of the Preds has changed hand twice within the last 8 days, was included in the Brady Tkachuk trade, and then the Senators sent it to San Jose. So the Sharks now pick in front of the Preds tonight.
Yeah, I think the Sharks are a big winner this week, and look, they might still have another move. You never know if they're going to pick at both 2 and 9. So I think Eklund for the 9th overall pick going from San Jose to Ottawa and San Jose getting the pick, I think that might be my favorite trade of the week.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, San Jose to have what they have and to be picking at 2
right.
and 9, that's a really good spot to be in, and winning the lottery gets you that. But I'm fine with them parting with Eklund. Some people still like him as a prospect. I don't think he's fully bloomed the way they hope he would. So the thing for the Predators though is they're now right in front of you, and almost one of those picks will almost definitely be a defenseman. They're probably going to take Ivar Stenberg, who's the second forward at number 2. But if they are still ahead of you at number 9 and there's only one defenseman you like left out of the 4 or maybe 5 who deserve to go top 10,
right,
one of them's probably going.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And San Jose, you talked about that core that they've got. Of course, Macklin Celebrini at the center of that. Will Smith. Who'd they pick last year that was another big name at the top of the draft?
Michael Mesa.
So, yeah, they've got the young core and now 2 top 10 picks to pair with that as well. This draft, different from last year's draft, at least from what I'm seeing, where last year it felt like Schaefer was number 1, and then it was like 7 guys who all were kind of in that next tier, and teams just kind of picked from there. It does feel like it's McKenna, then Stenberg, and then kind of a tier after that in this year's draft.
Yeah, it's interesting because it never goes the way you think it's going to go.
That is true.
In the NHL, so there's this group of 5 defensemen.
Yeah.
That I am really hopeful one of them can last to 10 for the Preds, unless there's a big surprise at forward. And there are a couple of forwards in Tynan Lawrence and Wyatt Cullen who I think the Preds could like at 10, and almost certainly one of those guys will still be there at 10.
Yep.
I actually think 10 is a good spot to be in because I think 10, 11, 12 are the last places where those premium guys could sit.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to get somebody good. The question for me is, will any of the 5 defensemen still be there? Chase Reed definitely won't be there. He's the number 1 D in the draft. He was Brady Martin's teammate this year with the Sioux. Then there's Carson Carroll's Keaton Verhoff, who probably won't be there, but are defensemen with good acclaim. Then you have Daxon Rudolph from Prince Albert, another defenseman.
Yep.
And also the wild card in this whole thing, Albert Schmitz, who I have seen play on television more than any of these guys because he played in the World Juniors and the Olympics for Latvia.
Wow.
And I think he's such an intriguing prospect. The Predators definitely had tons of eyes on him because they had big brass at World Juniors. And I think if they get him at 10, I think that's a big win. So I really like him. He's big. He makes plays with the puck. I think he would be an awesome pick at 10. But I have no way of knowing what the Predators think about him.
Right, yeah. The NHL draft, once you get past those first couple of prospects, it really is kind of what flavor do you like. And we'll see Chris McFarland. This will be kind of our first look at what he likes to do as a decision maker in the draft. Now, of course, the scouting process and all of that was done under Barry Trotz's watch, but McFarland, Rob Blake, and others, now they're the decision makers, and we'll get our first data point of what he likes to do when it comes to drafting.
Yeah, and based on what McFarland has said in his few interviews so far as the Preds GM over the past few weeks, he has really dove into evaluating the potentials at pick 10, and will do the best he can the rest of the way. But his interest is definitely in the pro side.
Right.
And he'll trust Jeff Kelty, the Preds assistant GM, who's been with the franchise since day one, who's still here, leading the scouting department, which was already running their draft evaluation by the time McFarland was hired.
And yep.
Long before, obviously, they're doing it.
Right.
But it's a situation where he's going to rely on the pre-existing guys who've made the list for the team. And he's going to come in, he's going to know what's going on, but he's going to trust their evaluations as someone who didn't have in-person eyes on a lot of these guys all year.
Right, and he made the point during his press conference yesterday that being with the Avalanche, they weren't looking at the top 10 guys all that much.
Yeah.
You know, they knew they weren't going to be picking in that bucket of players. So you're right that a lot of this is going to come from the previous staff, Jeff Kelty, and the scouting staff that's been there under Barry Trotz.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it goes. I think the Preds will be in good shape at 10. I think the teams in front of them are going to determine what they have to do.
Right.
Which, that's obviously how the draft works. But, like, I think more so than ever, it's about who gets to us and then their head-to-head evaluations of those guys, which is predetermined.
Yes. And, you know, looking through some of these mock drafts, you look at the top centers out there and forwards, McKenna, winger, Stenberg at the top, Malhotra, the center, probably going to be top five picks. And then it's a lot of defensemen. We can see some of those wingers that you mentioned as well, Cullen, Lawrence, and then Belchets as well, who will be a teammate with Riker Lee at Michigan State next year, too.
Yeah, and basically all these American guys are going from junior teams to college teams next year, other than McKenna, who went a year early and did his 1 year of college.
Yes.
And we'll go to the NHL next year.
Yes, with the Toronto Maple Leafs, who will be on the clock coming up in just a few hours. Again, you can listen into all of the NHL draft coverage right here on 102.5 The Game with Max Herz, Willie Donick, and others. Preds currently slated to pick 10th tonight in Buffalo. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions for Max, we'll try and get to those over the next 30 minutes. But free agency also coming up right around the corner on Wednesday. We'll talk about what Max's thoughts are on what the Predators offseason could look like moving forward, who could be brought in, maybe some other trades coming down the pike. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz from Preds Radio, and Parker Kelly with you. We got a couple more segments on this Friday. It is NHL draft day up in Buffalo, Preds picking 10th overall. And again, you can listen to all your draft coverage right here on 102.5 The Game with Max and Willie Donick coming up at 6 o'clock. But Max, we are within a week of free agency starting as well, and the Preds do have a lot of cap space. But as we were talking about, this free agency class, there's not a whole lot of big names out there. And even if there were, I don't know if that would be the path that the Preds would look to go down. What are your thoughts on how the Predators are going to attack this offseason paired with some of the trades they've already made?
I think it's going to be more trades like that, or acquisitions like that. I think it's going to be guys that they can trust that are safe bets, that are guys who have the potential to stick around. And I would love for them to be in the conversation for some of the big names. I don't know if that's in the cards right now. But I think it's about solidifying next year's team and, in a different way, continuing what Barry Trotz had started and had made his mission of keeping the team competitive while they get the prospects for the next contention window ready.
Yes, and that's what Chris McFarland said, is that they're trying to build around that young core that they have coming up through the system. Jason Robertson is the big name that's out there, and the Elliot Friedman report, we were talking about it in the last hour, of he turned down 8 years, $120 million from Seattle in a move that would have been made, a sign-and-trade between Dallas and Seattle. Is that somebody that you think would fit what the Preds are trying to do? Only 26 years old, he'll be 27 next month, but obviously would come with a large price tag, not just in money, but also in the capital you'd have to give up to get him.
I mean, I would love for the answer to be yes. I don't know. I think he's just at the top end of the age bracket where they'd want to acquire somebody,
right?
If he is in it, but I think it would rev things up right away,
yeah,
in a really fun way. But I don't think the Predators want to give up the assets that it would. I don't think the contract would be an issue. I think they are willing to pay Robertson what he wants. They have the room for it. I don't think they want to give up definitely their first this year.
Yeah.
Probably a future first also. Maybe someone like Brady Martin. I mean,
that's
steep. You're sacrificing a lot of the things you have banked toward that contention window.
Right.
To bring in someone who is as much a contender right now as he will be when the window would hit as well. So
right.
I don't know what. I think it would be a little too in between, unfortunately. I really would love for it to happen.
And maybe we see something today with Jason Robertson. Again, it seems like there's been talks with a lot of different teams. I know St. Louis, I guess, was rumored as well, but he didn't want to go there. So we'll have to see if there's anything that comes down before the draft tonight. Let's get to some questions on the text line for Max here. 4312 asks, Max, with how many teams are overpaying in trades, do you think Ryan O'Reilly could bring a, he says, franchise-changing haul in a trade? I'll just say, what type of haul do you think O'Reilly could get back, given the trade market we've seen
right now?
Yeah.
Maybe a big prospect in a second round pick, or maybe a first. I don't think they're going to trade him this cycle, though.
Yeah, he's the one veteran player that I think you could get a decent haul back for that does not have trade protection in his contract, right? And so he's a piece that I think a lot of people are looking at. Do you have any feel on how they might handle the other veterans? I know Jonathan Marchessault, there's been a lot of talk of whether he's going to be a fit moving forward. He does have trade protection, though, so it might be tougher to move him.
Yeah, I think Chris McFarland has presented the situation to all those guys, and I think the message to them is go out and play well at the start of the year and make me keep you.
Yeah.
Like, and make everybody want to stay. Because if they do play well, I think he will reward them. And it's really it's so funny. It's really not too different than the way Barry Trotz managed it too.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the similarities they have, and they are very good friends, McFarland and Trotz. And I just think it's interesting to see the continuation of the way the Predators had been run, even with fresh eyes on it.
Yeah, and I think you could maybe even make the parallel to the coaching staff as well. Chris McFarland talked about this yesterday. He said he wants to see how Andrew Brunette and this coaching staff operate through training camp and into the start of the season. I think you could look and see a lot of GMs that would have come in here and said, I'm going to clean house, bring in my own guy. I do like that Chris McFarland is giving Andrew Brunette the chance to show, hey, I can be the right coach for this team moving forward.
Yeah, I actually think that was an easy decision. I think last year's coaching staff especially did a really, really good job with the addition of Luke Richardson as the defenseman coach. I think they definitely earned another year. I think they're the right group for this team right now. I think there's good cohesion between the coaches and the players. I think it would have been a mistake to make a coaching change, especially with how late the Preds brought McFarland in. I do not think that would have been a good move. So I'm very happy that they're sticking with the coaches.
Well, and I think what you saw over the last few months of the season gives you hope that Andrew Brunette maybe finally got things to click with this group they brought in. Obviously, the big moves two summers ago and the disappointment of the 2024 season led to a slow start in 2025, but it felt like things were finally starting to get where they wanted it to be. It might not make sense to just flush all that away to bring in somebody else.
Yeah, and continuity makes it easy to coach. And with all the changes the Preds made and the veterans they brought in, that was a really big challenge to get guys in places where they can all succeed. And though it has been far from perfect, I think the fact, like you said, that last year's team got to the point they did was a major credit to the coaching staff. And I think it was an underratedly good job by the coaches to perform as well as they did last season.
And they almost were able to sneak into the playoffs after being the worst team in hockey early in December. So we'll see Andrew Brunette back out there trying to see if he can start to get this thing moving back in the right direction in 2026-27. Talking to Max Hurd from Preds Radio, draft is tonight. Somebody else going to be added to this young core. Wanted to ask you about maybe the expectations for this season for some of these big guys. Brady Martin made the team out of camp last year. obviously was only up for a couple of weeks before being sent back to juniors. Do you see him playing a role early on this year for the Preds?
Yeah, I think he'll get a shot. I think next week is actually a big week for him. It's development camp, and all the Preds prospects will be back here. And I think Martin needs to be the captain of that camp. I think he needs to be one of the two or three best players at that camp, along with Igor Surin. And I just think it's time for him to go and get it. Hopefully he's back close to fully healthy after all he went through with his shoulder this year in the World Juniors and getting back to the OHL and all that. And he had an interesting year because he proved a lot toughness-wise, and he proved a lot in terms of how much of a winning player he is. Team Canada went down the chute garbage without him in the World Juniors. And from the Preds' perspective, not caring whether or not that junior team wins or not, it's great to see that because that is why the Preds drafted him. So I think next week you want to see him kind of large and in charge. You want to see him make some plays, and you want to see him show, hey, I'm the NHL guy at this camp, and I'm the best prospect in the org. So I think everything is on the table for him. I mean, we had these same conversations last year. It's determined by his play. So and last year he earned three games. He got his first NHL point. This year he'll have an opportunity to earn more.
Couple other guys coming up through the system. Tanner Molendijk, obviously, is a player that Preds fans have been excited about on the blue line. Did not make it up to the NHL last year. What do you see for him in this upcoming season? Can he take that next step and be a staple at the next level?
Yeah, this is a big summer for him. He has aged out of development camp since he has a full pro season, so he's no longer part of that, so he won't be here next week. I think going into training camp next year, you want to see his speed really be an impact. You want to see him be a puck mover. You want to see him leading breakouts. And well, I think he's another guy who will be given opportunities to make the team out of camp for sure. And it's a little disappointing that he still hasn't made his NHL debut, but you got to remember he's a late first-round pick and maybe was a little bit overhyped with how good he was in his draft plus 1 year in Medicine Hat and for Team Canada. So if he doesn't make his NHL debut next season, that is a big disappointment because it's time for that. But I'm looking forward to the improvements Molendijk can make this summer after his first pro season maybe didn't go the way he wanted it to in some respects for Milwaukee last year.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Skyler texted in kind of in the same vein. Is this Riker Lee's last season in college? He's ready to see his offensive skill on the Preds.
It might be, yeah. I mean, and Michigan State is loaded this year.
Yeah.
Like, they are loaded. Like, if you go by, after this draft, if you go by draft order where everybody was picked, Riker Lee might be like the 10th highest draft pick on his own team, and he was a first round pick.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I think if he has another year like he did last year, that could definitely be a sign in the spring situation. But they're definitely monitoring him, and I think that's a possibility for sure.
615-737-1025. Last call for phones for Max. We'll get to some more of your questions in the final segment, and also some pretty big Preds news this week. Pecorino going to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll get Max's thoughts on that to wrap up the show. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, wrapping up the show on this Friday. I wonder if Adam Vingan is like a dancer to this song. If Adam's
listening,
let me know.
And pumping his fist into the car.
Because I was just talking about how I did not realize this was Duke basketball's like anthem that they play in stadium until I went to the ACC tournament a few years ago and they were all dancing to it, just fists in the air over the top. So, Adam, let me know if that's something that you're into. Wrapping up the show here with Max, talking Preds. It is NHL Draft Day, and again, you can listen to all NHL draft coverage right here on 102.5 The Game with Max and Willie Donnett coming up at 6 o'clock. Quickly here, Brandy on the text line wants to give you props, Max, for completely and accurately guessing the Stanley Cup final and winner. So, well done. I guess, did you pick Hurricanes over Golden Knights?
No, I did not pick the Golden Knights.
Well, you picked the Hurricanes. There you go.
I had the Hurricanes. I proudly was one of the three voters for Rod Brind'Amour for Coach of the Year.
There you go.
It was my first time getting to vote for Coach of the Year, which was exciting. And
Rod the Bod.
I talked with some players who had played for the coaches I was considering, and it's the coach adjudged to have the greatest impact on his team's success. And to me, this was before the playoffs. To me, it's Brind'Amour, and I'm gonna have trouble not voting for him every year with the unique style they play.
Yeah.
And like have we ever felt the love to a coach like that after a Stanley Cup win?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's the face of the franchise,
right?
So he played there and won the cup there as a captain, so that helps. But to me, like the way they play, that is coaching more so than any other NHL team. And I'm not the reason Lindy Ruff lost, by the way. John Cooper was not on my ballot at all, and Lindy Ruff was second. So
I'm trying to think of it like the last time people celebrated a coach that much for winning. It might have been Barry Trotz in 18 with the Caps for finally getting one. But I can't think of any more recently than
that's
that.
That's a good nomination. Yeah, I think like last 20 years post-lockout, I think it's those two.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, Trotz obviously so much time in the league and had never been able to actually get the cup until that 2018 Capitals team. Jeff on the text line as well says, Max, I thought one game of watching O'Hara made Joachim Kimmel expendable. Do you think Kimmel is the next guy out, and what value does he have?
It's a good question. I would like to think you could get a good asset for him. I still think there are characteristics of Kimmel that are worth sticking with. And maybe it's just because we haven't seen him in the NHL as much as we saw Svechkov and LaRue.
Yep.
But I still dream on that shot. I still think he can be a goal scorer, or at least deserves a chance to prove that he can be a goal scorer in the NHL. And like, he can't be a fourth liner, though. Like,
right.
You got to play him. You got to find a way to get him on the power play. So I'm trying to think about it through the O'Hara lens, too. They do just have a lot of right shot forwards.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
And they just traded away two of their young left shot forwards. So it's we'll see where Kimmel fits. I definitely think he is a trade candidate. I wonder if there are teams who like him. You know, I think there have to be pro scouts who have seen him hammer one timers on the power play who think this guy's got a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, we talked about it. He is the furthest back first-round pick still on the roster after the trade of LaRue and Svechkov. So.
And he's 22.
Which is crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. So we'll see if he fits into this young core that the Preds are trying to build. Still lots of dominoes left to fall this offseason. Again, it is NHL draft day. 6 o'clock start tonight in Buffalo, and the Predators picking 10th. Before we let you go, Pecorine going to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. What was your reaction when you saw that news as Pekka becomes the fourth Finnish player all time to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Yeah, pretty amazing. And I think representing Finland is a big reason why he got in. To represent the Preds, to represent Finland, for that to just get dropped on us on a weekday
right.
in the summer was so, so awesome. And to go in with Carey Price, too, I think is really cool. As two goalies who had no haters, like
very true.
I think that is the perfect goalie tandem mate for him. It's cool that two goalies go in any class. That doesn't happen a ton. But two guys of the same era who were so good, who had bumps along the way and didn't win Stanley Cups, to have them both go in together and to hear them speaking about each other, I think was so amazing. And it's the ceremonies in November. It's first of all, if anyone wants to go, I would encourage Preds fans to go to Toronto for the weekend. We got to represent for Pekka. So
yeah.
It's for him to be joining Shea Weber in the Hall of Fame. David Poile's in there too, but like Pekka is almost his own category. Number retired, statue, Pred for life. This is going to be a special one.
It was really cool to see the news and see his reaction to it. And of course, he was on with Robbie and Joe earlier this week, too, and talked about the honor of, I mean, it's rare to see in any sport. We were just talking about all the player movement in hockey. We were talking about some of the NBA trades. It's rare to see anybody spend their entire 15-year career with one team. And it's cool that Pekka is only a Pred going into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best player in team history. So it's amazing that he's going to get in there, especially since you never knew it was a sure thing.
Right. Right. Did you hear on that interview with Robbie and Joe that he still plays beer league?
He better.
Gotta
stay fresh.
How crazy would that be if you're going out and you're just like, oh, I'm playing some beer league tonight. Oh, who's in goal for the other team? Pekka Rinne. Oh, all right.
Has he given up a single goal?
I would love to know the answer to that question. I saw somebody was tweeting. It was like, all right, how many beers do they make him have before? Like, that should be the question. It's like, all right, Pekka, you can play in net, but you've got to have like 6 beers before you step out on the ice.
I feel like he'd still be good.
Oh, 100%. But at least it would make it possible, right? It would make it possible to have just these, you know, Joe Schmoes be able to score on Pekka Rinne. They were saying, Joe and Robbie were saying, I think it's true, he should have to play forward. Like, have him go out there and play forward. I think it's unfair to have Pekka Rinne, a Vezina winner, in net in a beer league game.
Yeah, we got to get the stat sheet, see what's going on out there.
Yeah, that's true. That needs to be, we need to FOIA that for Pekka Rinne. Like, get his beer league stats since he's been out there.
If anybody's scored on him, get them on the radio
that
and
is
talk
true.
To them about it.
Yeah, 615-737-1025. Text us if you've scored on Pekka Rinne in a beer league game. That's about all the time we have today. Max, appreciate you coming on. Big night tonight. And again, we'll be sure to tune in 6 o'clock tonight with Willie. Should be a fun night over there at the BetMGM Lounge.
Yeah, all Preds fans are invited to come join us. It's a free draft party at the BetMGM Sports Lounge on the second floor at Bridgestone Arena. You go in on Fifth Avenue by Demumbria and take the stairs up. Going to be a lot going on. We'll be there on the radio. Preds pick 10th, so that pick should come probably sometime between 6:45 and 7.
Perfect.
But we'll be on 102.5 The Game for at least two and a half hours all night.
Love it. Love it. Again, NHL draft night tonight. Chris McFarland's first chance as the president of hockey ops for the Preds. They pick 10th, and you'll have all the coverage right here on 102.5 The Game. Or again, go on out to Bridgestone Arena. Enjoy it. It's a Friday night. Get out to the BetMGM Sports Lounge and celebrate with the rest of Smashville. But that about wraps things up for us this week. Monday, we will be back at 9 a.m. to react to everything that happens over the weekend. Got World Cup going on. Norway-France coming up at 2 o'clock today. Excited for that and much more. We'll react to, of course, everything going on with the NHL draft. The Preds with plenty of picks, not just tonight, but over the entire weekend. Big thanks to Max for coming on with us. And that wraps things up. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next with Nick Frazier in for Chase. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.